No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith, Dennis, and the Mean Dude, rounding out today's crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio. The show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Keith, you doing well?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah, all right. What about you, Dennis? You staying warm or what?
I'm staying warm, but I'm getting tired of shoveling.
Tired of shoveling snow, I hope.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's cold.
We shovel
there.
Other things here on the show.
But. Anyway, that's true. That's why. Yeah, we keep a shovel handy.
You got a choice about that, though. You choose to stay there, so.
Well, hey, you know.
It's a family thing.
Okay, we'll go with that. A digestive issue. The Mean Dude is with us, though, and he's tagging along. You know, so we got a full airplane, but we've made room for an additional passenger, at least temporarily. And her name is Stacy. She works for WestJet. She is on Just Plane Radio to help us kick it off. Stacy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Greg, for having me on today.
Well, no worries. We got to bring someone to represent the other sex to balance us off, to get our weight and balance in check. Keep us politically – well, we've already screwed that up, so – we'll just meander on as we see fit.
You lost now, that as soon as you put me on the show.
Well, good. Okay. You're going to take the blame this time. It goes around our crew. But regardless, we welcome you aboard. And I know you've been interacting with Captain Dennis lately. So how did you guys cross paths, Dennis? Let's go there first.
Well, actually, I met Stacy at AirVenture, of all places. She was working at the Women in Aviation booth. And my daughter and I had stopped into the booth. And she kind of took Abby off to the side and was talking about her plans for being a pilot and really hit it off. And so we traded phone numbers and emails and have been trying to stay in touch. And I had updated her recently on Abby's success with her sailplane and now starting to work on flying powered planes as well. And so
yeah,
thought
so
it was a good opportunity.
Right.
Well, yeah, I thought it would be kind of fun to talk to her about how she got into flying, now that she's, working for WestJet and, what she could do to maybe inspire and motivate other people that are maybe taking their time getting their pilot's license completed.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Is that how you remember it too, Stacy? Or were you kind of apprehensive when you saw this guy walk up to you and say, uh-oh, hey, security! Or what? How was it from your perspective?
No, that's exactly how it happened.
Okay.
And very approachable, lovely to speak with. And I'm always looking for an opportunity to engage with people when we do these shows. I'm a volunteer with Women in Aviation, so when I get to attend these different symposiums or air ventures or different groups of pilots, I'm always trying to find a person or a group of people that I can connect to. It's my main reason for volunteering. Dennis and Abby came to visit. It was just perfect.
Well, I bet it is. And I kid, but Abby is actually a superstar. I have no doubt in the future she'll be running this entire industry. And that's what the Women in Aviation organization kind of helps facilitate. You look for folks like her to kind of give them a little lift up as well. Is that it, kind of?
Absolutely. So it's a huge organization that has tons of different chapters around the globe, and our whole purpose is to connect, engage, and inspire. And if we can do that for even just one person at one of these events, then it's worth it.
That sounds awesome. So what exactly do you do for WestJet? I mean, are you the pilot in command and you're like running the whole show, or what's going on with that gig?
Not quite yet. I worked for WestJet's regional airline Encore for a couple of years before I moved to their mainline operations. And while I was at Encore, I was a first officer and then was promoted to captain shortly after I arrived. And then after a couple of years there, I moved over and I'm currently a first officer on their 737 aircraft on the NG and the 737 MAX.
For your position that you're in now, is it a little challenging without getting too, politically one way or another? It just makes sense that it's tough for women sometimes. Do you see that yourself or what?
At WestJet and Encore, at this level of the aviation industry, we don't see that really anymore. I haven't run into it. I don't know anybody that has.
Good.
I think a lot of that has to do with the crew resource management training that was started in the industry in the 1970s, and a general progression towards an inclusivity of all aspects of the airline. And that includes men, women, flight attendants, mechanics, in an effort to generate a good synergy in the crew to improve aviation safety. So we really come away from that. A lot of that thinking is really kind of old school, and it's not really seen anymore per se. I mean, there definitely is bias in the industry from all aspects. I mean, people are going to have bias against, you know, tons of different things that are uncommon to them as a person. So it does still exist, but it's not just in aviation. It's in all industries. So to say that it's just aviation would be incorrect.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't think it's necessarily a hindrance at this point necessarily. But all the guys, we had a little head start on the women, and so there's been a little catch up, and that's still in the process of kind of unfolding in the industry. And maybe that the industry needs so many more pilots that creates even a bigger opportunity for women to get into the aviation world. Am I right?
Well, I also think too that say 10, 15 years ago, when people are trying to decide where they're going to go as a career, they often look for areas where they see people like themselves in that industry. So you see, you know, maybe a while ago, a lot of women that are teachers or nurses, typically female roles, because they see their role models are in those roles. Whereas now you've got a shift in the aviation industry where you do have a lot of women that are fulfilling those leadership roles. So when you see little kids, for example, I ran into a group of three sisters at an airport, in a Canadian airport a couple weeks ago, and I went up to them and I talked to them and I said to them, like, oh, you guys can be pilots or astronauts or anything you want. And they looked at me straight faced and said, yeah, we know.
Yeah,
and
duh.
Like, okay, times have changed.
Right.
I see that. And it was just like, yeah, of course. So I think we are seeing a definite shift in the industry.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's just me, and it probably is, but when I see a woman pilot, I aspire to that. But that's a problem. That's just a personal issue, you know, that, you know, in the ribbing I get from, like, Keith and Ed, you say, you know, you kind of throw like a girl anyway. So I don't know, but that's just me. Did I apologize in advance before we started this interview, by the way?
It's part of your opening sequence.
Exactly. Right? That's right. But as far as the organization, is this kind of like something you just do on the side, or you're really just passionate about being a part of that organization to help bring more women into the world or into the aviation industry, or what?
Absolutely. I definitely have a volunteer heart. I love to be around people. I love to try to serve people and just try to see how I can connect them to their end goal and how I can help them facilitate those dreams. So when I discovered women in aviation, I played a bit of an interesting role. I was an airline pilot. I had worked overseas. I had done medevac. I had done, you know, different aspects of my career that were not the traditional instructor regional airline route. So it was a bit of a novelty for my little group. And I got to go to a lot of different career events, career days with different high schoolers, got to talk to them about how I did my journey. And I think that allowed me to do other volunteer work with the organization. So it's been really, really great.
Awesome.
I think the men should pick up on what the women in aviation are doing, because there's such a shortage of pilots worldwide. And if the men picked up on it and would encourage the younger guys to do this as well, I think it would go a long way.
I agree.
And, so, she's talking about as far as the crew resource management, that is definitely old school now. You know, they're not really given a hard time because the women have proven themselves.
Yeah.
The women pay more attention to detail than what the men do.
Well, Abby, not only is she female, but she also is like, you know, a quarter of my age, and she's whooping me on my process to become a pilot.
She's got this goal of she wants to be get her pilot's license before Greg, which, I mean,
so really, I'm inspiring her.
Really, it's not a really high bar right now.
Yeah, I'm inspiring.
I was going to say, she doesn't have to jump high for that one, does she?
No, okay. She could trip over it, I think.
All right,
you might want to talk to her, tell her she needs to set her aspirations a little higher.
She needs to get better role models like Stacy.
And that's why we've got Stacy on the show today. So, Stacy, what was your role model? I mean, how did you decide to get into aviation, since, you know, you kind of alluded to the fact that it wasn't a real typical role models that you would find for aviation not that many years ago?
I actually got into aviation entirely by accident. I had a friend that was involved in a youth organization called the Royal Canadian Air Cadets. And as far as I've been told, it's not super dissimilar to Civil Air Patrol in the United States. So this friend of mine was involved in Air Cadets, and I joined just because I wanted to spend more time with my friend. And this organization heavily promotes youth leadership, flying, and engaging youth with the hope of having them take on an aviation-related career field once they retire from this organization as teenagers.
Now she's paying it forward with Women in Aviation, which is, by the way, womeninaviation.org. You can go there, get more information, and see how you can participate, too, and do what Stacy's doing. Stacy, great stuff. Really appreciate you joining us on Just Plain Radio today. Thank you so much. And if
thank
we,
you.
I ever need a free flight on WestJet, now I know someone to call.
Give me a call.
Wow, she said that. I thought for sure she was going to hang up right then
because
and there.
Because she doesn't know you yet.
Good point. Good point. We got more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, that's the craziest video game I've ever seen.
It's actually a flight simulator.
Are you learning how to fly?
I'm still learning how to fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along, Captain Keith, Dennis, and the mean dude rounding out the crew today. So it's a four-passenger plane. When we had Stacy on, she was a wing walker. So, she has many skills, obviously. We thank her for joining us to talk a little bit about her gig at WestJet and inspiring young aviators to get into the biz. All right, so look, Dennis is up in Minnesota digging out from another snowstorm. That's pretty much the MO right now, right, Dennis? Is that it?
Yeah, it's we've had more inches of snow in the last month than we've had days in the month. It's just ridiculous. We set a new record here in Minnesota, so over 30 inches of snow already, and it doesn't seem to be letting up now that we're into March.
Well, just to make you feel worse, it's like 80 degrees and sunny today in Orlando.
Yeah, I'm feeling worse. Thanks.
Yeah. So, actually, you are feeling worse because you were planning to fly today, so you'd actually shoveled enough snow out of the way. But so what happened? You got out to the runway and then you had to turn around or what?
Yeah, fired up, taxied out. We're doing our run-up as one should. And all of a sudden, it was running extremely rough on the right mag. And Thank God we have an engine analyzer, so we were able to take a look and see that number one cylinder was the one that was actually dropping out. So it's off to the mechanic to find out why.
Now, that happened to me and Ed when we flew over to the Sebring Air Expo last year.
Right.
And same thing. We had an engine analyzer, and you know, I we were trying to get out of the airport quick, and I could just see, Ed's just face just drop like, oh gosh, here we go. I gotta spend more time with Greg now, you know. So, but he was looking at, you know, he was flipping the mags, which is what you were doing, and you saw that the one of the cylinders was not firing up to the level it was supposed to be, and he knew instantly. He said, spark plug. It's probably a dirty spark plug, or it's gotten flooded or something to that effect, and we're going to find a mechanic to clean it up. And sure enough, that's exactly what it was. Now, you haven't went to that point where you figured out what it was yet?
No.
You're guessing that's what it is?
I had to hurry back home so we could record the show.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. So you're waiting.
Oh, so he's blaming you now.
Okay, yeah. Of course. Well, as long
now,
as
we'll get to it later tonight after the show airs. I'll probably head up to the hangar and pull the cowl off and at least, you know, take a look at the spark plug. Hopefully it's, you know, something obvious. It'd be nice to see if just maybe a cable came off for some reason. Maybe the last mechanic, when they did the annual, maybe didn't torque it down enough. And
no, wait, if the cable came off, I mean, there would be nothing happening on that cylinder, well, would there?
You have two cylinders, don't you? Two spark plugs in each cylinder? So it's only the right mag that was dropping out. The left mag's running fine. So there's nothing wrong with the cylinder itself, I don't believe. I think it's just a problem with the spark plug, and most likely the spark plug, because last year's annual, we actually sent the magneto out for an overhaul. A year ago, we wound up replacing all the ignition wires and the magneto cap. So everything is electrical has been replaced, and even the spark plugs were replaced last year. They're brand new Tempests with just over 100 hours on them. So it's probably a piece of, you know, lead fouling or a piece of carbon. We've been doing a lot of maneuvering flight lately as I'm getting ready for my CFI. So, you know, there's been a lot of low powered and where you can't have the airplane leaned out and running hard. And so it's very possible something just loaded up on one of the plugs. And
yeah, just fouled it up a little bit. Is that what you would say?
Did you try leaning it out, run it up to RPM and lean it out?
We had it running at over 2,000 RPM and then leaned it back to where it was actually, you know, almost dying, you know, just to make sure it was really hot and clean and let that run for a couple minutes and then went right back to it and it was exactly the same.
So when you throttled up is when you lost power in that particular cylinder, according to the monitor? Engine monitor or what?
You know how you, when you do your mag check, you know, you set the Mooney, it's 1800 RPM and you switch to the right mag and see, and it's when I went to the right mag that it's just started to just shake.
So it really dropped. It's only supposed to, what is it again, Keith, about what, 10%, 20% you lose when you switch to magnetos?
Yeah.
So you see the RPM drop a little bit.
About 150 RPM.
Okay.
It should be about 75 to 50, depending on the airplane.
Okay,
and then between the two.
In your case, Dennis, it was dropping like dramatically, or just shaking?
Yeah, it was shaking and dropping over 150. Normally, a mag check for us, we lose 60 to 70 RPM.
Yeah, and your Mooney 201. Okay.
Yep.
And so, how much RPM did you lose? Then you figure.
It was over 150 RPM was losing, and it would backfire when it was on the right mag. So go back to both, and it smoothed right out, and temperatures came back up. So we tried it a couple of times, and we finally just had to call the tower and say, all right, we need to taxi back. We're done.
Now, in a case like this, Keith, what do you do? I mean, can you just do what Dennis is probably going to do is take the cowling off and start screwing with this yourself, or you're not really supposed to do that?
Well, there's some things that you can do. You know,
can you take the spark plugs out?
Yeah, he can pull the plug out. Okay. Take a look at it.
That's okay. And that's so you could troubleshoot it potentially yourself if it ended up being something simple as.
I'd pull the bottom plug out first because that's typically the ones that get fouled out.
Yeah.
Well, I was also going to go and take a look at my my cable diagram and see which one is the number one cylinder right hand side, and I would almost bet it is the lower plug on the right, on number one.
But a fairly common situation,
it is. Yes.
You know, the fact that I encountered it myself as well, you know, makes me think that. Hey, what about you, Mean Dude? You ever had that happen to your airplane?
We had that, probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago, and I actually had to pull out a plug, strangely enough, by the same manufacturer and replace it.
What do you mean? The same manufacturer?
I had a Tempest plug. I had to pull in mine, and I don't think it was anything wrong with the Tempest plug. Just probably my leaning processes aren't what they should be. Sometimes.
Yeah, well, couldn't that be like bad gas or something fouling up the spark plug or something?
Isn't that's the possible? Lead in our gas that's actually causing the problem.
Yeah.
So there's not much you can do about it. If it happens, it happens.
Especially if you're doing a lot of maneuvering, running at rich instead of leaning it out. That kind of stuff happens quite often.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that happens in a pinch, is that something you can turn around and fix real quick and get back in the air? Or you got to, like, if you clean up the spark plug and then, what, you just test it yourself and you're good to go?
Well, it depends on the airplane. Some airplanes, the plugs are easier to get at than others. 172, you got to pull the cowlings all off.
Yeah.
So, basically, by the time you get it over to maintenance, it's the flight's pretty much shot.
But right.
Fortunately for us, it doesn't happen very often.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm wondering, though. I mean, if that happens and you were to find out it was the spark plug, then do you have to get it signed off on to be airworthy again or anything? What's the threshold to the point?
You don't need a mechanic to sign it off, you know, because it's my airplane. There's certain things that the private pilot and aircraft owner are allowed to do. And one of those things, believe it or not, is actually changing your spark plugs and cleaning your spark plugs. So I can do it, but I have to actually sign the maintenance log as a private pilot or a commercial pilot.
I see.
And sign the log. So, yeah, it does need to get logged, but I do not have to go and find an A&P. So, you know, if cleaning the spark plug is all it takes, you know, I'll go over to my neighbor's hangar and use his plug cleaning device. And
well, a new spark plug's probably not that much either, is it?
$25 at least.
Really? $25 a pop each for those things? Okay, clean
it's
it.
It's an airplane.
Good point. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. Here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith, Dennis, and the main dude rounding out the crew. All right, so Dennis just had some issues with the spark plug. Potentially, he thinks it's the spark plugs.
And he's got his fingers crossed.
Yes. I mean, if it's not that, it could be something way more serious, but you won't know till you get in there and see if the spark plugs are fouled first, right?
Right. And I'm about 99% confident that that's all it is.
Yeah. While you're in there, what else can you spend your money on? Other than new spark plugs, you know?
There's a list of things that we want to do. We want to upgrade that engine monitor to get more information. I mean, right now, it's so much better than it was a year ago when we just had a single cylinder head temperature gauge.
Yeah.
Now, at least I can see all four of the cylinders, and I knew immediately which one was causing the problem. But I'd like to get more information, so I'd like to look at upgrading that engine monitor to get fuel flow and oil temperatures and pressures and some more information.
Okay. Just would that help you
a better pilot?
Would that even help you troubleshoot this issue, Keith?
Sure.
Well, how so? If he had that other information, oil pressure, what would that tell you about
oil
the spark pressure?
Is not going to do it.
So, and what was the other one?
Fuel flow.
Okay, so if fuel flow had went down, that'd make you think of the fuel line, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Instead of the spark plug.
It just gives you different areas to look at.
Yeah.
You know, when you're troubleshooting it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what that engine monitor device is for. Okay. So, but while you're in there, the only thing you could do is replace it with new spark plugs or...
Either pull it out and clean the spark plug or replace it. And there's been a lot of discussions on the Mooney message board about whether or not you should put what they call a fine wire instead of a massive electrode plug in. Because there's two different styles. You know, the old bulletproof... massive electrode is kind of the standby that everybody's seen for 50 years, but now they're starting to introduce things like iridium and platinum like you have in your cars. Problem is the price goes up correspondingly.
Mm. Well, do they last longer or no?
They claim that a fine wire will last effectively to TBO. So if you're getting your engine overhauled, put a set of those in. You never have to buy a plug until the next overhaul.
Okay.
In my case... the engine's going to probably give me another 500 hours or so. It's probably not worth putting that investment in.
All right. Well, you got to make that decision on your own. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can never be with someone who likes Joni Mitchell. It's Cloud's Illusions, I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. What does that mean? Is she a pilot? Is she taking flying lessons? It must be a metaphor for something, but I don't know what it is.
I just want to fly. I come burning out the sky up so high. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me, baby.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith Dennis. And the mean dude rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. And talk about Dennis's issues with his spark plugs. Hopefully that's all it is. But Keith, you were looking it up online, or were you just saying that having a brand new mag fail is actually more common than not now?
Well, they don't seem to make things like they used to anymore.
So right.
We've had it happen three times now.
Yeah.
That we've put brand new mags on and then you get less than 300 hours out of them and they're gone.
Yeah. I remember when I was doing my flight training long, long time ago.
You remember that far back?
Hard to believe.
It's ancient history now, isn't it?
And I remember having this conversation with Keith as we're in the airplane flying around and we're doing the run up. I said, hey, you know, what are the odds of this airplane, you know, when we take off, if we lose power? And that we have to do an emergency landing or go back down to the runway. And he says, it never happens. And of course, literally the next day, now they didn't tell me this until like a week later, because I was still very young in the whole, you know, solo flying thing. And they said, oh, by the way, Charlie Mike got grounded because of a bad magneto. I'm like, what? The plane I was training in, yeah, you broke it or something. And I said, well, what'd you do? He said, well, we lost power, and we just went back down to the runway. You know, we throttled back and then just got off the runway and went back to the hangar and got it fixed. So you didn't lose total power, but you lost your thrust and or something, right?
Yeah, you just reduce RPM a little bit.
Yeah.
So you deal with it.
You deal with it, right. And Keith, you know, he tells me this story real calmly, like he is right now. And I'm like flipping out. I'm like, wait a minute, you told me that it never happened. Well, it had not until the day after I flew the airplane.
Well, we lost a little bit of power. We didn't lose all power. So.
Okay, yeah. So it was no big thing. But tell that to a new, a young pilot like myself.
Well,
at
that's
the time.
Why I didn't tell you exactly what was going on.
Right.
You didn't come back just like you haven't now in the last few years.
Well, no, that had nothing to do with it. There has been other issues. But yeah.
I've had a couple of engine failures in my career.
Yeah. But none of them have been, like,
but
super
none of them
scary
in a single engine airplane. They've all been in jets.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. So my odds are much better in the planes.
Well, your odds are great because you don't fly.
Okay. So. Well, there's that.
Well, and in a twin-engine airplane, aren't you twice as likely to have an engine failure? Right? Because you got two of them.
Well, you got a backup. Yeah.
Well, that depends. I mean, the other day I was doing some multi-engine training and did a full feather shutdown and it wouldn't restart, so we had to come back with the engine shut down.
What? I don't understand. What do you mean you had to come back?
Go back to the airport.
Oh, okay. Because
only one engine was running.
Right. But wasn't that big a deal, though, was it?
No.
No. Yeah, because you got two. I mean, you know, Captain Clay, who we haven't talked to lately, but he has been discussing about the possibility of getting a new aircraft himself. And his big thing, he was looking at a Citation SR-22, right?
That's a Cirrus SR-22.
Or Cirrus, yeah, Cirrus, that's what I meant. But he was looking at that because he flies over water quite a bit. And so his main feature, well, he has two main features he's looking at. And one of them is icing, a de-icer, a heater kind of thing for the wings, because he's, you know, out in the great white north or west.
Wyoming.
Yeah, Wyoming. And that he needs that feature because of the mountain flying he does. But the main reason he wanted the parachute was because he flies over water quite a bit.
Yeah, but the Cirrus won't work for him. He carries too much weight.
Well, that's he was looking at that, too.
Yeah, but he carries too much weight and it's too bulky for him to use.
Well,
I think the perfect fit for him would be a Piper Seneca because it'd be a natural transition from the Saratoga he's at right now. It's almost the same exact fuselage.
That's exactly what he's looking at. Yeah, but he did like the idea of the Cirrus. Isn't the Cirrus faster? Wouldn't it be faster? Or
it's faster than the Saratoga, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he was looking at that, but the main reason was, you know, flying over water. At least he'd have the backup of knowing you have the parachute.
Right.
But he said,
maybe we need to talk to him about the article that we just saw at AOPA about the used business jets. The ADS-B mandate's got an unexpected side benefit if you want to buy a jet. Apparently, the prices are going down because a lot of companies are not wanting to put that kind of investment into the old airframes. So you could get yourself a heck of a deal on a used Citation jet.
Well, that was the third feature that he mentioned, which was price.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, which usually that's the first for most.
Well, can you imagine him jumping into a from a Saratoga into a Citation? Now he's got a twin engine jet that's definitely going to be icing capable and get him some better mountain performance.
Yeah, but that would be a major jump.
It would, price, but the insurance company would probably want 100 hours of mentor pilotship with him.
Mm. And I bet you would volunteer to go do that for him, wouldn't you?
For Clay, yeah, sure, I'll do
there
that.
There you go. So we'll see what he gets. But, you know, I think he's definitely leaning towards the twin Seneca. I think the jet thing ain't going to fly with him, literally.
A nice Seneca 3 would do him well.
Mm-hmm. Is that the latest one, the 3? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what he had said, you know, the latest number. Whatever. But yeah, we'll see. You know, but that was the thing he wanted was two engines. And I'm like, well, wouldn't you be more, you know, efficient with one? I mean, these single engine planes are way more efficient than the twins, aren't they?
Very much so. You're looking at my Mooney. I'm doing 155 knots on less than 9 gallons an hour at cruise.
But when you lose that one engine.
Hey, then it's really fuel efficient.
Good point. Yeah, good point.
And, the thing with multi-engine airplanes, you know, people think you lose 50% of your power when you lose an engine. You actually lose about 80% of your power.
Really?
So that's the thing to keep in mind especially with a light twin.
Hmm.
Yeah, it flies all the way to the scene of the crash, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So you're going to lose altitude.
I bet you get there before the ambulance.
That's true.
Can you hold altitude?
The other day when I did it, it depends on where you're at and what airplane you're flying, but.
Yeah.
We were up at 6,500 feet the other day, and we descended down to about 5,100 feet before we could maintain altitude again.
Really? Well, that can be a little hair-raising, like, because you don't know till you get to that altitude, I guess, whether it's going to hold it.
Well, no, if you've done your calculations ahead, you can figure out what that's going to be, so okay. You'll know.
All right. I can do that on 4Flight. I don't got to figure that out and do the math in my head, right?
No. 4Flight doesn't have that option yet.
Come on. It should say, you know, I should be able to just ask Siri. Siri, am I going to be able to maintain altitude with my single-engine, twin-engine airplane if I've lost one? And she's going to go, oh, hell no. You better get to a runway now. You know, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, two engines, you know, more engines, more problems. I mean, you always have that conundrum.
You do. It's
right?
More maintenance because now you got a second engine to take care of. You've got
more fuel.
Second prop to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Retractable landing gear to take care of. So, yeah, maintenance costs definitely go up.
Yeah.
You're burning twice as much fuel.
But the fact that the newer single engine airplanes are become so dependable, that issue of having a twin as opposed to a single isn't as, I mean, the gap between knowing which path to take for you has gotten much narrower now because of that, right?
It all depends on the mission. You really have to look at what your mission is.
Well, if you're flying over water quite a bit, would you, you know, take that route that Clay's thinking that he wants to?
Well, again, Clay carries an awful lot of equipment with him.
Yeah.
And
like me.
Well, sometimes.
That's just dead weight.
Yeah. So when he's carrying a lot of equipment with him, he doesn't have the weight and he doesn't have the room in a Cirrus that he needs to do that.
Yeah.
And so that kind of, you know, that airplane kind of knocks it out for him. Mm-hmm. For just the times when you know, he's by himself, yeah, it'd be a great airplane for him.
Yeah.
But more often than not, he's going to need to have the cargo room.
Right.
So he'd be much better off buying a Seneca.
Yeah, and the Seneca's got that great cargo door in the back, too, which makes loading that outsized cargo very, very easy. I mean, try to get, you know, large pieces of equipment into the back seat of a Cirrus is just not practical.
Right.
But you can take the seats out of the back of that Seneca, and you've got a good cargo hauler. They've been using those for years.
Yeah. Well, a Saratoga is pretty roomy.
And it's the same fuselage.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
And he definitely is loving that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I am, too. So... He hadn't invited me to fly with him recently.
When he was down here, he didn't invite you to fly.
Oh, hell no. He didn't. He didn't have any reason.
So, he's learned. Clay's learned.
Learning has occurred at the expense of my enjoyment. We got more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Oh my God, we're in the air. I love airplanes.
I am a captain in the Civil Air Patrol, the Air Force Auxiliary, so I am a huge fan of airplanes.
The ladder, you guys.
Beautiful. They don't get to be in airplanes as much as I do.
So it was really fun to watch their faces.
I appreciate it because it's looking at the world through a different perspective. You see everything in a whole new light.
So true. That is from Survivor. They've started, what, season 97? Is out there now, and I'm watching it. We'll see if they work some airplanes into some of their exiles to the island or
whatever. So that's what you've resorted to now, is watching Survivor shows to get your airplane time?
Whatever inspires me, yeah, to fly. Yeah, I'll take it where I can get it.
And well, I think you'd be better off going to the airport if you want to be inspired. You know, it's a good first step.
Yeah, and by the way, for the record, you know, Keith's looking at me like... You know, it's a good thing this is a radio show. Let's put it that way. Because it was a very disapproving glance he gave me. Okay.
Well, my eyes were rolling. If you heard a click in there, that was probably me when you said you were watching Survivor.
I was wondering.
Yeah, my,
My thought was you were moving backwards from the Jimmy Buffett show you were bragging about, right, on back down the line.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, yeah.
We've hit a new low here, Greg.
Well, thank you.
About Survivor.
Thank you for that support, gang. It's that kind of support to keep me going day in and day out. Anyway, all right, so by the way, just for the record, too, Dennis, you were saying the Citation Jets have come down in price. Like how much? Are they within reach now?
Well, I mean, depends how big Keith's wallet is, but
his credit card. He has a credit card that we can definitely
we might need one or two
borrow.
Of them, but
yeah, why? How much are they saying? Is it a percentage?
Oh, they're just saying that the value is it could be as much as half of what they were. Just the costs of having to go through and comply with the ADS-B mandate. A lot of companies are looking at it, going, it's just not worth putting the money into the old airframe, and so they're buying something new and they're dumping it, and so. If you have the resources, it might be an inexpensive way to get yourself a business jet if you had a need, as long as you're willing to put the investment in to upgrade the avionics.
What do you think, Keith? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And people are taking advantage of that situation?
They're not really taking advantage of it just yet, but I think it will as we get closer to, or I should say, I think they will as it gets closer to 2020.
Right.
Or even after, when these airplanes are parked and, no longer usable above 10,000 feet, suddenly, what are we going to do with it?
Well, the ADS-A, why is the ADS-B, why is that affecting the
Citation? Let's go back to an airspace lesson, Greg.
Well, no. Well, can't you just get a aftermarket device and put it in for that? For those?
It's a little bit harder with a jet.
Yeah. Why?
Because of the avionics and the airspace that they fly in. Mm. So it's not just as simple as setting something on the dash and getting your ADS-B out input in there.
It won't work the same way?
Not if you're going to use the full potential of the airplane. Go up in the RVSM reverse vertical separation airspace.
You just made that up.
What's that?
Terminology you just threw out there.
No, I didn't.
You sure?
Positive.
It sounded very authoritative. But, but just high altitude ADS-B technology they got to have for the jets. And then that's not
easily aftermarket. So we've got our airplanes are set up now for ADS-B.
You got them all done?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But no Citation jets?
No.
Yeah. No. Those are, how big are those?
One of the airplanes that I fly, they just spent $400,000 putting ADS-B in there.
Wow. Ouch. Okay, so no wonder you get such a good deal on them, because if they don't put it in there, they can't fly it?
Right.
So, and there's nothing left? I mean, can you get an ADS-B jet service system in for like 10 grand?
No.
Really? It's going to be at least 100 grand or something?
It's a little bit more, because you've got antennas, you've got avionics work. Well, some of these airplanes, you're going to have to change some of the avionics in order to make it work, which was the case in one of the jets that I fly.
It's going to have to be somebody who's willing to dump the money into a...
Right. That's why Dennis was saying you got to have the resources to do it. You might buy the airplane pretty inexpensively.
Right.
You might get it for, depending on the airplane, $200,000-$400,000, but you're going to have to put some money into it as well.
Mm-hmm. And
in the end of the day, you're getting a business jet, for substantially less than a new one.
Well, how big is the fuselage on one of those?
It all depends on which one you get. I mean, some of them are pretty small.
Yeah.
And some of our, one of the ones that I fly is, it's the same size as that they use in the airline. So.
Really? It could be like a 10, 20 seater.
Or 50.
Really?
Or more.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't even need something that, actually, no, I could use something.
Use something a little bigger because I still can't stand up in it.
Well, you have that. So
but
at least you could lay down.
You have that problem with almost every airplane except maybe a 747, don't you?
Not just about.
Yeah. Hey, well, you get the Airbus. When they get the two levels, they can accommodate Keith if they knock out a floor.
Hey, and those are coming down in price now, too, now that Airbus is winding down production on the A380s.
Really? Hey, you know, I love the fact that Dennis is dreaming big. I thought I was dreaming big.
We got to set goals,
Oh, yeah. Well, I've already maxed out Keith's credit card, so we do have our limits, right? I should say he has his, which affects us. So another quick little tidbit before we wrap it up today. So the Icon airplane, that amphib type thing or boat plane or what? I don't even know. Experimental.
It's an amphib.
Okay.
It's light sport amphib.
They're in the news this week because of what, Dennis? What'd they do?
Well, the St. Louis Boat Show was just recently going on in St. Louis, Missouri, and the sales guy had the Icon A5 on display as a boat.
Nice.
And so, yeah, he lined up several test flights with potential customers, and they were out flying off the Mississippi River just off of downtown St. Louis, you know, over by in, you know, proximity to the Arch and, you know, really kind of a really cool venue if you're going to go do a test flight. But apparently people saw an airplane crashing into the river and called 911, sending the fire department. And of course, the airplane took off before they could rescue it.
So it created a bit of a ruckus for people who didn't know that.
A bit of a stir. Yeah.
It could crash and then take off again. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
To fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.